Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The Milwaukee Rep's Man of La Mancha is running now at the Quadracci Powerhouse Theater in Milwaukee. It is a beautiful, wonderful show. I had a chance to see it last Sunday, and we're happy to have Nathaniel Stampley, who plays Cervantes' Don Quixote, with us this hour. He has been recently seen in The Color Purple at the Milwaukee Rep, also Dream Girls. He played Porgy in the national tour of the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess, also in the Broadway Porgy and Bess, Color Purple, and The Lion King. He's a UW-Madison graduate. I'm just reading part of his credits because there are many of them. He's also a Ten Chimneys Fellow. And he, interesting, well, we'll tell the story. We'll have him tell the story. And there's something about, you know, when I was watching this, Nathaniel, I realized when every song came on, that I knew all of these songs. It was just amazing to me. I can remember bits and pieces every time. Oh, there's that song, there's that song. It must have been a huge thing. I was alive in 1965, so I must remember it from 1965.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some of these songs, I mean, the most popular song, obviously, is The Impossible Dream.
Right.
But great songs like Dulcinea.
Yes.
And What Does He Want of Me? I mean, just wonderful songs that I feel like are timeless and,
they are.
You know, will be sung 100 years from now as well.
Yeah. Even the song I Like Him. I just love that song. I love that song.
That's one of my kids' favorite songs.
Is it?
Yes, yes.
I can see why. So it's interesting. Is this a true story that Mark Clemens, the artistic director, was having dinner with you and he asked you, what would you like to do? And you said, I've always wanted to do Man of La Mancha.
Yes.
It is true.
It is true. It is true. And they were already in talks about attaining the rights to perform the show. And so, you know, I was available, you know, a year later, and here we are.
Hmm. And why? Why did you want to do this role? I mean, I can understand why you would want to, but I want to hear you say why you would want to do that show.
You know, I'll give you the easy answer. Brian Stokes Mitchell, when he premiered the role about 12, 14 years ago on Broadway for the revival, I thought, oh, man. So whatever he does, I would love to do. You know, I had done Ragtime on the tour. And I just thought, you know, whatever. I just, you know, he's a benchmark for me. And as a baritone, as an actor, and as a great leading man. And so I thought, man, one day I'm gonna play this role. And I had no idea that, you know, 2016 was gonna be that special year for me.
And you did it twice, right?
Yes.
You did it in Marriott?
Yeah, the Marriott Lincolnshire. I recently was Jeff nominated for the role.
Congratulations.
Thank you, thank you. And so this was basically a back-to-back Don Quixote's, completely different productions, but still having a great time.
Yeah. You know, I realized, I don't know what it was about the show, so tell me, what was making me teary-eyed during this show? There's something about the whole message and seeing people as he sees them, Don Quixote, and that's not who they are, but they become who he thinks they are, and they're better versions and maybe real versions of who they are. It just made me cry during the show. I was surprised.
Yeah, you know, Don Quixote is someone that I've truly come to really love and adore as a character. Aww. You know, we all have special people in our lives that, you know, we wish to always be around. And many of our mentors and teachers have passed on. And so someone like Don Quixote represents the best in all of our mentors and teachers. And the best of humanity. And so when I think of him and I see the way that he absolutely loves and falls for someone like Aldonza, who is, as we would say, like the lowest of the low in Western culture, you know, a prostitute, a woman, and he sees the beauty and the purity of her true essence. And so he sees something in her that she doesn't even see in herself, and in many of the other characters. So when I think of Don Quixote, I think he's someone we all should aspire to emulate.
Does he fail to see some version of reality that it might behoove him to see?
I think I think he does see a certain level of reality, but he sees like the extreme version of good in everything, and so what's grateful is that he has a support team around him, someone like Sancho, to help him, and as he falls down, someone there to help him get up, and so I think. Quixote does see reality, but I think he chooses to see something else. And then as Cervantes, he sees the art, and he chooses the vehicle of Don Quixote to if you will, exercise his own ideas and philosophies of life.
You have such a beautiful voice. It's just so stirring. When did you realize you could sing? Isn't it weird we sing too? I was thinking about that the other day. We sing.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, I know, it's kind of weird. We sing. And some of us can really sing like you.
I've been singing my entire life.
Have you?
My grandmother, she had recordings of me and my cousin Micah Stampley. He's a gospel recording artist from when we were like 3 and 4 years old. And my dad is a local pastor,
Yes.
and so I've been singing my entire life in church. So I don't ever remember a time where I wasn't singing.
But you were saying just before we went on that you do have somebody who helps you. Well, you don't need help with your voice, but you have a voice trainer to how to take care of your voice, how to use your voice.
Absolutely. I have a voice teacher in New York. Conrad Osborne, and a local voice teacher, Mimi Fulmer, who's the head of the voice faculty at UW-Madison.
Oh, and you went to Madison.
Yes, a proud graduate. Go Badgers.
Did you do theater there?
I did more opera.
You did opera?
Yes,
Ooh, wow.
And so I did a lot of art songs and classical music, and we performed one we. Did opera scenes every semester, and then one full production every year.
Oh, do you do opera now?
Not too much. When I do it, it's just in the privacy of my home. But every now and then, I'll get a call, and I get to perform with orchestras around the country as well.
Great. And I didn't realize, I was reading about the show and the writing of the play many years ago that the writer was from Rhinelander, Wisconsin, I noticed, and was orphaned at the age of 10 and bummed around the country for a number of years. Very little formal education, and he writes Man of La Mancha. It's a great story.
Well, I mean, and it's always wonderful when you have great source material like the novel, Don Quixote.
It doesn't help,
yeah, that
does it?
does, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah. Did you become enamored of Cervantes, or had you been before this show?
Not to, n no, I can't say he was very much on my radar. It was more the character of Don Quixote. Whether it's the Picasso renderings or different images of Quixote and Sancho on the mule and horses tilting at windmills, those images, and knowing the story. This is such an interesting, the stage version is so interesting where we have the play within a play. And so we have Cervantes, the actual writer that wrote Don Quixote. And we have another character, Alonso Quijana, who is an older gentleman who consumes a lot of novels and a lot of art. And he decides that he's going to change his reality and become Don Quixote. And then we have the character Don Quixote in the story.
Which is complicated. I mean, you can keep track of it, but it's hard, I would imagine, when you're staging this, because you've got a lot of stories going at the same time. And it's done beautifully, but I would think, as a director of this, and as an artistic director of this, it's not an easy task to put this show on.
Mark Clemens, our artistic director and director of this show, was very keen on making it a collaborative effort with the actors and the design team as well. You know, it was a lot to unpack with the story, and we wanted to make sure that the true essence and the message of the show would come through, and not, and we won't get caught up in the artifice of knights and,
right,
and, you know, and windmills and different things. But it's like, if the story is true and we're really sharing that story, people will really, you know, latch on and enjoy, have a great night at theater.
Yeah. We have you, I think you recorded this for us to play and other media outlets to play, but this is you. And there are so many songs that people will say, oh, that came from Man of La Mancha, if
yes,
they don't know the show, because they'll last for a long, long time. Do you want to set this up for us? This is The Impossible Dream, and you're singing it.
Well, you know, The Impossible Dream, you know, it embodies Quixote's philosophy, where the subtitle of the song is called The Quest. And Quixote is someone that is on this journey to right all wrongs in society. And it isn't necessarily about a final destination for him, but it's enjoying the journey and everything that comes its way. And that's his true philosophy, and it's embodied in this beautiful song.
It is beautiful. Such a beautiful song. We'll let you go in the background. I didn't know it was going to pause there. Isn't it? It's just a beautiful song.
Yes. Yeah. You know, it's the great example of how wonderful, you know, musical theater can be, where, you know, you have text, you have music, and you know, a great setting within the story. And all of those come together with this music, and you have this iconic song.
Yeah.
You know, many artists have performed.
Yeah, so many have. Mark Clements said that, and I thought this was interesting, I want you to respond to this, that he didn't want to be, he read the lyrics because he didn't want to be seduced by the music. And he talks about it being a great philosophy of life, that if you try, because when you're on your deathbed, that's all you have. That's the legacy. Even if you failed in your endeavor, you want to be able to say you gave it a go and you didn't give up when you had to dig deep.
Yes. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's the essence, in my opinion, of living. You know, that is a full life, is to try.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything short of that is unsuccessful living to me. And so I think, especially as an artist, you know, we try every single night to do this monumental task of having people forget about what's right going on outside of the theater, but come into these four walls and enjoy this incredible night of theater. We're going to laugh. You may even cry. And you may, and you should see yourself somewhere on the stage, mm-hmm, and then have a reflection of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And as an artist, all I can do is try to do that 8 times a week. Sometimes I'm successful, sometimes not. but I'm on that quest every single time.
You're on the quest. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. 8 times a week you
yes,
go through this.
Yes.
So let's talk about stamina for a while. It's a word very much in the news these days.
Yes.
You have to do something to make sure you don't get colds. You have to make sure that you have the energy to do that kind, because that takes everything you've got, I'm sure, every single night, to, particularly with this kind of character. You know, there you are. You're on stage almost all the time, and you're singing, and you're off, you know, on your quests, and it takes a lot from a human being to do that. So how do you summon all that forth 8 days a week?
Yeah, well, you know, the big thing is we don't have to do all shows at once, all 8 shows at once. So I take my approach is every scene at a time, every moment, one moment at a time. And so if I think about the end, if I think about the end of the show at the beginning of the show, I've already exhausted myself. So I just try to be present and honest in every moment as I can. And then as far as my days and during the week, I try to, you know, I work out 2 days on, 1 day off every week. I try to eat healthy. I try to eat my last meal a couple hours before every show. And then I stretch, I warm up. And I drink a lot of water, and I try to rest as much as I can. Vocally, I try to take it easy. I try not to talk in crowded rooms too much, go out and scream and yell or anything like that. And take vitamins and watch a lot of movies and read a lot of books.
That's a pretty full life.
Yeah. In addition to being a full-time dad and husband.
Tell me about your children. Did they see you on stage? Have they been seen the show?
Yes. They saw the show in Chicago. They haven't been to see this production yet. But our daughter, she's 9 years old.
Oh, my.
She's in 4th grade, and she recently got into the cast of The Nutcracker at City Ballet in New York.
She did? Oh, yes. My gosh.
For the second season.
Wow.
And our son, he's 5 years old. And starting kindergarten, and he loves soccer, so he's just starting his journey as a soccer player.
And you're doing shows all over the place too. You're a Milwaukee guy. You grew up in Milwaukee, but you're here, and you're in New York, and you're in England. You're all over.
Yeah, you know, ideally, you try to stay busy, and you know, share your craft. You know, wherever people are interested in having you.
Yeah. We're going to welcome phone calls for you. I know it's early in the run, and maybe many of you haven't had a chance to see the show, but you may be familiar, I hope you are, with the wonderful work that Nathaniel Stampley has done. He was in The Color Purple. You may have seen him in that, in Dreamgirls. He's done the national tour of the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess, playing Porgy in that. Also in the Broadway show, he's done a lot of shows on Broadway. He's a UW-Madison graduate and a Ten Chimneys Fellow, and he's Milwaukee born and raised, a Chapter 220 student, I just found out, and we'll talk about that. So he's been in lots of worlds in this city. And we're talking about Man of La Mancha, in which he plays. I love the show. It's so well done, and he's terrific. He plays Cervantes and Don Quixote. And here's how you reach our conversation, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. So we'll carry on. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And Nathaniel Stampley is our guest. He is the star of the Man of La Mancha show at the Milwaukee Repertory Theater. You said somewhere, Nathaniel, that in reference to this show, but it's also what we take away from it, that we live in such cynical times, the easy thing to do is by making snarky, quick comments and anonymous rebuttals. But Quixote believes in our goodness. Maybe, you know, when you put this in the midst of a presidential campaign that's where there's not a lot of goodness going on right now, and the spirit of the country and how everybody's yelling at everybody and it's just getting to be too much, maybe that's one of the reasons this show has resonated, at least for me, that there is something else here, that there is a goodness that we need to see.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think, you know, even when the show premiered on Broadway in the 60s, you know,
you're in
the middle of the civil rights era and the major movement, and, you know, consciously of this country. And so, you know, here we are decades later. We may not be fighting the exact same battles in the same way, but, you know, it is a struggle to see the best in each other at all times. And so a lot of times, so it's most important as artists and having art available to all of society, where we reflect certain things that we want to uphold in our culture. And so art is that reflection. And so we want to see the best in each other. So a piece like this will always be relevant. And especially during this election season, it's wonderful to come to the theater, and regardless of where you may stand politically, we all can agree that, you know, we can afford to see the best in each other, even if we may not agree. And even in the midst of tragedy, we can also see beauty and in art and in each other.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about your time in Milwaukee. You were, I found out today, actually, a 220 student, Chapter 220. So you went to Whitefish Bay High School.
Yes.
So you were living, you were maneuvering in lots of worlds in this city because there are different worlds in Milwaukee. I would imagine that being able to understand a lot of different communities has helped you in the work that you do.
Oh, absolutely. I started as an MPS student in elementary school. And I started at Cumberland Middle School out at Whitefish Bay. And then I remained a 220 student at the high school. And my mom is a retired MPS teacher. And I've always very much been aware of the two separate and unequal Milwaukees, if you will. Almost in that, you know, W.E.B. Du Bois, you know, talks about, you know, the double identity that a lot of black people have. And but I had the best of both worlds. I mean, I love my neighborhood. I love where I grew up with and the churches that I attended and the wonderful men and women that helped raise me. And I definitely appreciate all of my friends and classmates out at Whitefish Bay. And their parents and them supporting me in all the plays and musicals. And so when I come back to visit Milwaukee, I have two Milwaukees that I enjoy equally as much because, you know, there's a lot of history that is there. And I love this city, but this city can afford to continue to grow as well.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that a lot of people have noticed is that the Milwaukee Repertory Theater has paid attention to this two cities thing as well. I think that the selection of plays and the casting of plays has been a direct answer to some of the division that we face.
Oh, sure. You know, I think, you know, the rep has been around for 60 plus years. And in order for them to sustain that and be around for another 60 years, you know, programming that reflects all of Milwaukee is important.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, every community here in Milwaukee would love to see themselves represented on the stage or in film or on television or maybe even on the radio. And so I think it's really important because, you know, all of the communities here in Milwaukee have something to offer. And if we're all willing to open our eyes and fully embrace each other, I think that can be a great start to a beautiful, you know, city.
Mm-hmm. Your sister is also in the arts. You got this whole family involved in the arts, which is, I just love, you two were on together last time I think I saw you. It was just so nice to see you. You obviously are really good buddies. And,
yeah.
And you're doing theater, both of you. Isn't that, and now your daughter is doing theater too?
Yeah.
This is not an easy field to be in. And here you got a whole family thing going on.
Yeah, my sister, Malkia Stampley, and her husband, Chike Johnson, they are just amazing artists. And my sister, she's arguably the most talented person in the family. Like, she's the real triple threat. I'm kind of a hack at dancing.
Right.
And you know, it's great. You know, a lot of our artistry comes from my mom. And I know she's listening. Hi, Mom. You know, she, you know, we grew up listening to public radio. She would introduce us to classical music and talk about Gershwin and many other artists. And she's a fine musician herself, plays piano and organ. And I think I spend my entire life trying to sing as well as she does.
Really?
Yes. And so I'm grateful to her. And so my career and my sister's, and then now, you know, my nieces and nephews that are coming along, I think we all reflect her genuine artistry as an incredible woman.
But it's hard, isn't it, to figure out what's going to happen in a year and where the next call may come from and what kind of slot you want to make sure that you're trying out for. That it's a lot to manage. It's a lot of uncertainty, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I will say that uncertainty has been shared in all fields of occupation nowadays.
You know,
I mean, there are accountants and business men and women that are out of work as much as actors are nowadays. But you know, the biggest thing is, I always tell people, I never think about the numbers or, you know, the number of actors I may be going up against. At the end of the day, if this role is for me, it's for me.
Mm-hmm.
My job is to do my best at auditions. Their job is to cast me. And I can't really do anything about that, but I can always put my best foot forward.
So you obviously thought that Cervantes' Don Quixote, this role is for you. What made you think that? It's true. I mean, we can see now that you were right about this, but what made you think that?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. You know, we were listening to Impossible Dream earlier. And so when I would do that song in auditions and even on recitals, I would always mess up.
Really?
I mean, something would always go wrong, whether it was a lyric or something. And then finally, I feel like, you know, all roads came together, where it's like, I felt like I was old enough to truly embody the role, and mature enough to, you know, deal with the topics. And then everything sort of came together. And so it's like, you know, I feel like when you're truly ready, then a lot of times opportunity will knock at your door as well.
I guess you have to be a certain age. You can't be too young to play this role, can you?
No, I don't think you can be. You know, I think back now, you know, I auditioned for this. My first audition for Man of La Mancha was like 20 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
And now I can see why I didn't get cast, you know.
Yeah.
I had no idea what a full life was really like, you know. I hadn't even, you know, traveled, you know, many places around the world yet, or, you know, fallen in and out of love, and, you know, had children yet, and all of that. And so I think it helps, you know, embody any character that I bring to the stage, but it also just helps me continue to grow as a person as well. So I and so all of that sort of came together. And then you know, being married now for, you know, 12 plus years, and having two great children and a beautiful wife, and, you know, parents that I love and adore, but also having mentors and friends that have passed on. All of that comes into play when I come onto the stage. And the other big thing is that, I'm not just Don Quixote for myself. Like, it, you know, it traditionally this role isn't played by black men mm-hmm. on stage. And so I'm very well aware of the fact that when I come onto the stage in this iconic role, some people are taken aback, some people are surprised, but, you know, and that's fine. We all come to, you know, to the stage and to the theater wherever we are, you know, prejudices and, you know, biases. But by the end of the show, if I'm able to, you know, move the needle just a little bit, then I think my job was done.
Yeah, your job was definitely done. I would imagine this is one of those roles. If I were playing some character like this, I would hate to let this guy go. I mean, it would come to the end of the run, and it's a long time before the end of the run, but I would think you'll hold on to him forever. If you don't get a chance to play him again, and I'm sure you will, but for some reason you wouldn't, you don't want to say goodbye to this one, do you?
No, you're right. You know, I'll just say it, not all roles are written equally mm-hmm. as well as this one. And so I think Quixote will definitely be with me a long time. I've been in these shoes now since May of this year. And so it will be a sad departure at the end of this run for sure.
Yeah.
But I always look forward to the next thing.
Exactly. Do you know what that is now?
I travel back to New York, and I'll be in the premiere of a new show called First Noel at the Apollo Theater.
Ooh.
In Harlem.
What a life you have. Isn't it something? And you can go New York, Milwaukee, too, which is a good thing.
It's great. I am very grateful. I am very grateful, for sure.
Nathaniel Stampley is our guest. Anybody who's seen the show, I'd love to hear your review. I know it just opened very recently, but some of you, I'm sure, listening have had a chance to see Man of La Mancha. It's currently the show that the Milwaukee Reps started their season with, and it goes through October 30th, and it's just terrific. Our number is 800-486-8655. Email if you'd like to go there. At route is talk@wpr.org. And we're on Facebook, so you can go to the Kathleen Dunn Show. We go to Chris in Baraboo first. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hi.
I went to your first night showing, and I could have put my hand out and touched your hair. You did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
I can only say thank you to you and to Kathleen for having you, and to your mom. The first review this summer, when you sang The Impossible, I don't normally cry, but the tears started flowing down. And afterwards, when I found out that your mother and I taught together for years, it was indeed a great moment to celebrate theater, to celebrate public schools and your family. And I am going to come see you again next week. You do a wonderful job. The entire show is so impossible. It's wonderful.
Oh, thank you, Chris. Appreciate that.
Thank you so much for the call. Let's talk a little bit about what goes on behind the scenes to put on a show like that. It had a certain... I mean, it wasn't a bright set, you know. You felt as though you were in this dungeon. You know, you were about to be called by the Spanish Inquisition. There was something that was, you know, kind of dusty about it, and it stays that way, even though you bring the brightness of the dream and the quest mm-hmm. and all of that. But to create that kind of, it's in how many people's heads that's how you want the stage to look. And then how hard is it to make the stage look like that?
Yeah, we have, Jason Fossil, is an amazing lighting designer, and the costume design by Alex Tacoma. I mean, you know, there's a lot of work and effort in placing us in the right place, mm-hmm. you know, and the right setting to, you know, tell this story. And that when we kind of go on these fantastical journeys, that then the lighting gets a little brighter and we change scenically, but we're really still in the same space. if you will. And so the technical design of the show, as you alluded to, it always helps in telling the story. And a lot of times the designers are the true heroes of a lot of productions, for sure.
Yeah. Let's play a little bit of this song I mentioned earlier. This is from the Broadway show, I think, because we couldn't get access to the person who's playing, I can't remember his name, Man of La Mancha, who's playing Sancho.
Your sidekick. Michael Farina.
He's very good in the show, too. He's very good. But I have to, you know, because I have the chance, I want to play a little bit of this song. And then you can tell me about the relationship with Sancho and why he teamed up with you and all of that and his role here. This is... when he is asked, why in the world did you team up with this guy who seems to be not quite there? You know, why? 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 And this is what Sancho answers.
Why do you follow him?
That's easy to explain. It's because... because...
why?
I like him. I really like him. Tear out my fingernails one by one. I like him. I don't have a very good reason. Since I've been with him, cuckoo nuts have been in season. But there's nothing I can do. Chop me up for onion stew. Still I yell to the sky, though I can't tell you why that I like him.
The ever faithful Sancho Panza.
Yes.
It's a lovely little relationship, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. I mean, you know, Sancho... you know, I know he uses the term like, but he loves him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he protects him from himself, and he cares for him. And really, you know, Sancho is someone who has, you know, a foot in reality and a foot in the clouds as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the perfect friend mm-hmm. in that way. And they don't always agree, but at the end of the day, he's always there for Quixote.
Mm-hmm. And Dulcinea, which is how he sees the woman who has to devote his battles, etc. This transformation in her is wonderful to watch on the stage, because at first she's, who is this guy? You know,
yes.
just discarding you and discounting what you have to say. But then this gradual, you know, you can see, maybe there's a little bit of what he sees in me and me. No, there isn't. Yes, there is. And then she is won over, essentially. And how could she not be?
Yeah, this role is played brilliantly by Linya Rideout. And, you know, of all the characters in the play, she has the greatest transformation
right.
of everyone. And even at a time where there is weakness and even faltering on Cervantes' part, she holds on to the story
mm-hmm.
and she continues
mm-hmm.
and even confronted with some pretty brutal and rough interactions with some of the other prisoners, at the end she sees what Quixote saw in her from the very beginning,
mm-hmm.
the strength and the beauty and purity and the essence of who she really is.
Mm-hmm. And that's a difficult role, the singing in that role, I think, because she's got such a range, doesn't she?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, she sings these beautiful songs, like What Does He Want of Me? And then the really difficult song that's almost more like a monologue and called Aldonza.
Mm-hmm.
And she's amazing at everything she sings. Linya is amazing.
Mm.
Yeah.
And the song Dulcinea that you sing is very beautiful as well, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's almost like it's very romantic
yes.
and almost even like a lullaby, even.
Yes.
And the song comes back when the Alonso Quijano character is laying on his deathbed. she sings the song to try mm-hmm. to spark his memory. Like, remember, you called me by another name. And so, I mean, it's such a wonderful tune. And not all musicals are, you know, have such beautiful music. And so when you have such a classic like this, you latch on to great songs like Dulcinea, for right. sure.
And it is, you used the words romance. It is a romantic thing going on, but you look at who the people are and what the backstory is, and you say, this can't possibly be romantic. But it is romantic,
yes,
isn't
it?
It's romantic.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, all of us, you know, all of us are romantic, you know. Every theater goer, you know, in a way, we're all, you know, we want people to see us in that special way, and you know, for people to sing songs to us, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. Let's go to Monica in Milwaukee. Hi, Monica.
Hi, George.
It's Kathleen. It's all right.
Hi, Kathleen. I'm really excited to be here. I just wanted to tell Mr. Stampley, I saw him. My husband and I, we went to The Color Purple, and after that performance, I wept so hard. It was the most beautiful, nuanced performance. I was a theater person, seventh grade, and I can't do it any longer. I'm at home disabled now, but
okay.
I have to say I was lucky enough to see Richard Kiley play this in Chicago. When my dad took all of us kids there, when I was 13 or 14, that moment stayed with me and really developed my love for theater and that show. It's so special. I only want to see it when it's done this way. And I've had friends tell me, my gosh, you've got to get there. You've got to get there. So I'm going to try as hard as I might, you know. But I just wanted to tell you what a wonderful actor you are, seriously. And it's so joyful seeing live theater. There's nothing mm-hmm. like it. It keeps us in touch with our feelings and our true relationships and your humanity. And I'm a romantic too, if you can't tell.
Yeah.
We can tell, Monica. Well,
thank you, Monica. I appreciate that.
Have you done film?
No.
No. So no. You would agree with her that it's live theater is where you want to be.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing like everyone being in the same room, experiencing the same thing at the
right.
same time.
Right.
So, you know, the only way you can have an intimate moment on stage is if everyone is quiet in the house. And, you know, the only way you can really have, you know, a fun time or, you know, a raucous time in the theater is if the audience is laughing, we're laughing, and there's a real interchange between audience and performer, for sure.
Nathaniel Stampley is our guest. We'll take more phone calls and continue our conversation about theater and Man of La Mancha and Quests and everything as we continue. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Pat sends this email. Nathaniel, what would you say is the main theme of Man of La Mancha? She's going to see it on Friday, and her husband is getting his musical theater education, as he was the youngest of five and didn't get to see musical theater growing up.
I think the main theme of the show is hope. And, you know, regardless of what you see in front of you, things can always be better. And to see the best in every situation and in people as well.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, one word is hope.
Hmm. When you're playing, it's interesting that Monica brought up your role in The Color Purple, which also I saw, and what a contrast in characters. I mean, the role changes, but you're not playing a really nice guy for a lot of The Color Purple. And mm-hmm. in this, you're playing this... I mean, he might not be fully aware of what's going on in the world, but whatever world he's living in is a good one, and he's a good guy, right?
Yes.
So
yeah.
I'm wondering, as an actor, does it make a difference? Is it really challenging, because you're a really nice person, too, to play somebody who's, you know, kind of a hard-edged, not great person, or does that really stretch you and you like to go that direction when you can?
Yeah, I think, you know, the beauty about acting is that, you know, you get to do things that you don't normally get to do.
Right.
And so in the same way, I don't usually walk around in knight's armor with a lance.
Right.
You know, I also, in the color purple, I don't really treat women or other people the same way that Mr. did.
Mm-hmm.
I think also the biggest thing is to not judge your characters. Like, they are who they are, and all of us, you know, we all are capable of incredible things and the most diabolical things as mm-hmm. human beings. And so where we fall in that dial is what is written on the page. And so I try not to bring my own subjectivity to that, and I just try to delve into the character and then let the audience decide what they want to do with that character.
Mm-hmm. And when we were talking earlier about roles that you'll take with you 20 years from now, when you'll be obviously still doing theater, but thinking about what you've already done, this probably will be one of them. What about the others you've already done? Because you've already done so much.
Wow.
What would you like to repeat, say, 5-10 years from now?
5-10 years from now? I don't know. I mean, I love Cole House Walker Jr. from Ragtime.
Mm-hmm.
That is definitely...
It's a great show.
Yeah, great show, great role. That's the only one that comes to mind right off the bat. I think to revisit anything else in maybe 5 years may actually be too early. So we'll see. We'll see.
And if you were asked by Clements or another director, what is it you really want to do in 2017? Let's make it 17 or 18.
17 or 18.
Do you have an answer for that now?
I do, but it's a private answer.
Ah. Do you think it will become a reality?
I'm an actor, so we deal in fictitional things all the time that become real. And so I think all things are possible.
Ah. And do you have enough advance notice? Do you know what's going on in New York that will be opening a year from next fall, or what will be happening in Milwaukee, or are those decisions yet to be made? So you can prepare yourself for, hey, I want in.
Yeah, there are some orchestra dates and concerts that I have that are a year or two out already. And then most Broadway productions, you know, just like a few months ahead of time that, you know, this production is coming in or something like that.
Let's go to Ann next in Milwaukee. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Kathleen. I want to agree with all the good things that have been said about the show and add, I think the Padre was wonderful. Mm. The way he walked, it was almost like a ballet. And I want to say, I loved it. I didn't expect to respond to it so powerfully as I did. But, Kathleen, your questions are also wonderful.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That's what makes this thing go.
Yeah, and the Padre is played by our Milwaukee's own John Daly.
Oh, yeah. He was just elegant.
He was,
wonderful.
He was, wasn't he? I've seen him in many shows, but I had to remember, who is this? Because he transformed himself such.
Oh, he certainly
didn't
is.
He? Yeah.
And this was his 60th production with Milwaukee Rep.
Really?
Yes.
They should have a 60th? Party.
60th? Yes. Yeah, you should have a party. Have a party.
Seems... Oh, and I love your laugh.
I do too.
Thanks, Ann.
Goodbye.
Bye, Ann. Thanks very much for the call. You do have a great laugh. I'm sure many people have told you that, but it's genuine, you know. It's not a rehearsed laugh in any way.
Thank
it's genuine.
You.
So you have a show tonight?
Yes, we do.
Wow.
7:30.
So what are you going to do? Are you going to relax at all once you're off the air here? Because you've just been on the spot here for an hour.
Yeah. I'll go back to the hotel, eat a little bit, and stretch, check in with my wife. And
you stretch your vocal muscles or you stretch your whole body?
My whole body.
Yeah.
My whole body. And I'll warm up a little bit vocally. And check in with what's happening out east with my wife and the kids, and then make my way to the theater.
It's hard to be away from them, I'm sure, too.
Yeah, but I'm not reinventing the wheel. It has been done by many performers before me, but I'm grateful for the work, for sure.
Yeah. Well, you were marvelous, absolutely wonderful, and it's a great show. It's just a great show. I wish I knew. I'm just getting to an age where I can't remember where I must have seen that show somewhere, because why did all this music come rushing back? Why did it come rushing back?
Yeah, it could have been you've seen the production, or maybe, you know, you had the recordings. Have the cast albums and without seeing a full production. But who knows? I mean, you know, the show is so wonderful and has been around, won so many awards,
right,
that, you know, sometimes there are just things in the air and you're like, oh, I don't even know how I know that song.
Yeah,
you know?
But it's a great feeling. Yeah, I know that song. This is great. Yeah. Thank you so much for being with us, Nathaniel. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Kathleen.
We'll talk to you again whenever you do what you're going to do next year, when you let everybody know what you want to do and they say, oh, yeah, okay, we'll do that. And then we'll know what it is. Nathaniel Stampley, our guest, and he does a wonderful Cervantes and Don Quixote in Man of La Mancha. It's at the Milwaukee Repertory Theater, and it runs through October 30th. And you should see it, because it's good. Thanks to, we got a lot of people to thank. Thanks to Scotty Myers, and thanks to KP Whaley and Lisa Nalbandian for helping out here, and to Scotty for going to the show with me on Sunday, too. Scotty loves Don Quixote, and he brought the figurines that are on our mantelpiece here, too. They're from his house. Perfect show for him. Thanks for listening, everybody. News is coming up, and we'll be with you again for all things political on Monday.